And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. We have had two callers on the sandwiches and salads. The next caller at 639-0008 wins four sandwiches or four salads from Urbane Cafe. Every show has the theme, and today's theme is projecting forward. Each of my guests is demonstrating projecting forward in his field, whether it's football or business. My next guest is an investment advisor to high net worth clients and institutions. With high rates of return hard to find on investments, he'll describe alternative investments from his book, Wave Theory for Alternative Investments. And if you have a question or if you want to join in the conversation, the number here is 639-0008. Stephen Todd Walker has over 20 years of finance experience. Most recently, Stephen joined the prestigious investment banking firm of Oppenheimer & Company in Philadelphia as the managing director. There he advises both high net worth clients and institutions. Prior to that, he was the senior vice president for corporate client group and the director for global wealth management over at Morgan Stanley. Prior to joining Morgan Stanley, he was also one of the youngest directors at Deutsche Bank, Alex Brown, in their history. Stephen holds an MBA degree in finance from Temple University, and he holds a BA degree in English from Kenyon College. This Philadelphia Business Journal named Stephen to the Philadelphia Business Journal's 40 Under 40, and he's been featured in Real Philly and Philadelphia Business Journal. Joining us from Philadelphia. Hi, Stephen. How are you today?
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, it's our pleasure, and thank you for the book, The Wave Theory for Alternative Investments. You know, because rates of return right now are at historical lows. When you've got a 10-year yielding at or below 2%, you know, where do you go to make money in this environment? So you turned your attention to a couple of alternative investments, specifically hedge funds, commodities, and venture capitals, and you apply what you call wave theory. So let's start there. What is wave theory, and what makes wave theory so useful and predictive?
Sure. When I started out my career about 20 years ago in finance, and I, as you summed up, my clients are institutions and individuals. And what I noticed that over time, in not just good markets but also bad markets, times where things are uncertain, stock market can drop, a lot of unforeseen things, I've noticed that to help clients diversify, I added alternative investments. Alternatives are basically anything that is not stock, equity, or fixed income bonds. It's kind of a three legs of a stool, and that's the alternative space. And the alternative space is quite large. It can cover things like people hear about gold, and that's one of the many, many commodities out there. There are REITs, there are hedge funds, venture capital. There's quite a few alternative investments. And what I noticed over time was that all the alternatives move in waves. You have these cycles, patterns, trends, and it can be helpful with a portfolio adding to equities and fixed income to help lower risk and increase rates of return.
All right. And these patterns, these waves, actually have a basis in mathematics, don't they? They follow the sine curve that you get in mathematics. For those of you who paid attention during high school trigonomics, this is, in fact, the theory that you're basing all of this on, isn't it?
Exactly. And you can see this, and it's quite apparent. At first, when I looked at it, I thought, well, maybe this is just commodities. And if you look, for example, back in the 70s, gold, not too dissimilar from what we're seeing today, and a number of cycles in between as well. Gold went up something like 500-600% back in the 70s, and I call that gold wave one. And there have been quite a few gold waves over time. I've seen that in real estate. I've seen that with hedge funds, venture capital, a number of areas where you see history repeating itself.
My guest is Stephen Todd Walker. We're talking about alternative investments. Before we go on to the next question, big shout out to Kathy from Ventura. She's the winner of four sandwiches or four salads from Urbane Cafe. Congratulations to you, Kathy. Now, back to you, Stephen. You mentioned gold, and certainly we'll start with the one that's most familiar to people in the commodity space. Commodities have outpaced stocks and bonds as an investment vehicle over the last 18 months. And there are three major categories of commodities, if we want to break it down that way. There are agricultural commodities, metals, and energy. And gold, as you said, is all over the news. It surpassed $1,800 per ounce just recently. But it's not the fastest appreciating commodity this year. So which commodities have appreciated faster than gold in 2011, Stephen?
Well, you have, you know, once again, you have a number of different commodities. And within the portfolios that you just mentioned, gold is part of precious metals. And you have a very close relationship with silver. And silver in the last, you know, 12 months has gone up quite a bit. It's basically caught up to gold. And anytime that you see a disparity between the two, you frequently after that see them act more in common. So that you saw sort of a catch-up there, and that's why silver went up so much.
And which is the leader? Is gold the leader or silver the follower, or is silver the leader and gold is the follower?
You know, you could almost look at that weekly, monthly. It changes, and you have, you know, quite a few commodities. It depends whether you're talking about oil or one of the energies, or there's quite a few commodities out there.
All right, fair enough. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to stop over you there, Stephen. Go ahead.
The one of the things that I point out in my book is helpful is if you have, you know, a diversified portfolio. I think that if you're too heavily invested in any one asset class, you can run into trouble. And that could be if you're 100% equities or 100% fixed income, or even, you know, someone went 100% into gold. You need to mix it up and be diversified.
All right, fair enough. I was thinking in the agricultural space, cotton has taken off this year, and cotton seems to be, as an accelerated growth strategy, seems to be a faster growing commodity than even gold and silver on a percentage basis.
Cotton has picked quite up quite a bit. So has corn. You have a lot of crops. We've had flooding in certain areas where crops were destroyed. A need for ethanol. So corn has gone up quite a bit as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. My guest is Stephen Todd Walker. We're talking about his book, Wave Theory for Alternative Investments. So, Stephen, every investment has its risks and rewards. Give us some of the advantages and disadvantages of owning commodities.
Sure. Well, a lot of times alternatives, they're good to mix up with equities and fixed income to help mitigate risk and increase returns. And what do I mean by that? Well, if you have managed futures, for example, and that's just one of a number of alternatives, but back in, as you might remember, Bill, in 2000, 2001, 2002, that was a pretty bad time for the equity market. It was off 40 to 50% over that three-year time period. And when you look at managed futures, they were up something like 7%, 7-8%, 1%, and 12.5%. So over those same three negative years for the equity market, managed futures were in the money all three of those years. And then if you flash forward to, say, 2008, as we all remember, the equity market was off about 36.58%, if I recall, and managed futures were up somewhere around 14%. So it's good to be diversified and to keep an open mind about different asset classes.
Well, now, help differentiate for me, if you will, please, Stephen. Why would I, if I'm typically an investor in equities, I own a lot of stocks, why wouldn't I just go with futures or options on the stock market that I know something about rather than moving into the commodity space where I know very little about the, well, certainly understand the underlying asset that's there, but very little about commodity investing? Why would I do that when I'm very comfortable with futures and options on the stock side?
Well, managed futures are in, you know, an aggregate, and they tend to be different managers. They might be looking at, for example, interest rates. Okay, and if you compare that to, you said commodities, you can find some commodity funds, commodity managers, or you can pick out an ETF. There are many new and a growing list of ETFs that specialize in certain commodities. You had mentioned cotton. You know, there's a cotton ETF. There's a gold ETF. There's an oil ETF. So you can be very well diversified. And if you think one of those areas is going to outperform, you now can break it up, or you can have it in a fund or have a group of different commodities. There are commodity indexes, for example, where you have exposure to a number of different commodities, and that's different from managed futures.
All right. My guest is Stephen Todd Walker. We're talking about wave theory for alternative investments. And one of the alternative investments that you have listed is are hedge funds. And you say the word hedge fund right now to people, especially normal investors, you'll get a very visceral reaction from people because hedge funds have been linked, probably unfairly, with the financial crisis, and it's been bandied about by politicians as being evil. So first of all, what is a hedge fund? And then second of all, why are investors use hedge funds to augment their portfolios?
In brief, hedge funds are it's quite a big market, different from mutual funds, and you could view hedge funds sort of like mutual funds with insurance. In other words, they can short and protect on the downside. And one of the reasons why you saw hedge funds become so popular back in 00, 01, and 02, as we know, where the equity market was off, hedge funds, like their brother or sister managed futures, did well in each of those years. Hedge funds also did better than equities in 08, and they had pretty good returns in 09 and 2010. They had an average of 19.98% in 09 and 10.5% in 2010. So whereas a mutual fund is long stocks and they don't short, a hedge fund can short and protect on the downside.
Well, isn't that, though, that what caused some of the problems with the financial institutions, that hedge funds were just shorting banks, and let's just use our own Bank of America as an example, to the point where it became a $3 stock?
There are hedge funds can take a particular security and short it. They can take an index or general index on the market and short it. Hedge funds also, on the flip side, you mentioned Bank of America. But if you look at when America was in a very deep crisis and a lot of the banks were trying to issue securities, one of the biggest buyers at the bottom of the market that actually helped the banks and helped the U.S. was actually hedge funds. They were one of the biggest purchasers of securities at the bottom of the market.
That's right, and that's the point that I wanted to get out for my listeners, is that hedge funds have been instrumental in at least mitigating some of the losses that we've had in this current downturn. My guest is Stephen Todd Walker, Wave Theory for Alternative Investments. The third category that you look at in the book, Stephen, is venture capital. Now, that has a very positive connotation, particularly out here in California, because we have so many high-tech and biotech startup companies and all that. Pundits say, though, that finding funding, including venture capital, is very hard right now, and those same pundits point out to the lack of initial public offerings, IPO, as an indication that venture capital is dried up, because an IPO represents the ultimate payday for the venture capitalist. So tell us what's the popular belief behind venture capital? Why is it inaccurate that venture funds are drying up right now?
Venture capital goes through its waves as well, and 2 or 3 years ago, you mentioned it being popular right now, but 2 or 3 years ago, it wasn't popular. Now it's come back more in popularity. You've heard of Groupon, Twitter, Facebook, a number of private companies that have gotten attention recently. Venture capital moves, it ebbs, it flows. There will always be fantastic companies to select from, and there's quite a much, much larger pool of private companies than public companies. If you have something like 10, 12,000 publicly traded companies, it is dwarfed by all the private companies. There's something like 100,000 private companies out there, so
wow.
The pool is much, much larger. And if you look back over time, some of the best companies in America, some of the best entrepreneurs, whether it be Google or eBay or Amazon or all those companies, Microsoft, at one point in time, they were venture-backed, small companies growing, and then they went public, and they grew and grew and until they're the size of Google or Microsoft or one of the other larger companies today.
All right. My guest is Stephen Todd Walker, author of the book Wave Theory for Alternative Investments, Riding the Wave with Hedge Funds, Commodities, and Venture Capital. Stephen, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Wave Theory for Alternative Investments?
I think one of the things I would like is if people keep an open mind to alternatives. I think there's a lot of confusion out there about what are alternatives, how might I diversify, how might I add them to a portfolio. And sometimes it's good to try something new and to take a look at building a better portfolio. I think with alternatives, they play a viable role in most portfolios. You have equities, fixed income, and kind of the third leg of the stool, I believe, are alternatives.
There you go. My guest has been Stephen Todd Walker, author of the book Wave Theory for Alternative Investments. Stephen, if people are interested in what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
Sure. If they go to my website, which is Stephen Todd Walker, Stephen with a P-H, Todd, T-O-D-D, Walker, W-A-L-K-E-R.com, there's information on the book. There are some shows that I've done, charts, a lot of different bits and pieces that I think would be helpful, as well as how to reach me if someone would like to contact me.
That's great. It's StephenTodWalker.com. Stephen, it has been a delight having you as our guest here on Brainstorm and with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Billy, thank you so much.